go behind the wheel, under the hood, and beyond with Car Stuff from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hey, Scott, can you hear me?
What up, Ben?
What's up,
yeah,
man?
Yeah, see how cool I am?
Yeah.
Yeah, you know what? Maybe we should go by our DJ names today.
We should go by our DJ
names.
Yeah,
I've been thinking, like, maybe I could be, like, Grandmaster B.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
Vitamin B.
Nice.
How about you? You're Ben Bolin, so DJ Bebo.
There we go. DJ Bebop.
That's not Bebop, man.
Yeah, sure. Why not?
Ben Bolin, Bebo.
Hang on. Let me turn this down.
Good idea.
All right.
All right. Now we can speak. You can hear each other.
Today we're going to talk about sound systems in cars. We're not going to talk about the factory sound system yet.
Nope, and not even how to do it really. I mean, because there's so many different professionals out there and the way that they do things varies greatly. And people are going to argue about what the best setup is and who makes the best equipment, et cetera. I got to tell you, when we talked about doing extreme sound systems or just talking about car audio anyways, I had no idea what was out there, Ben.
It's huge.
I'm living way, way, way in the past, apparently, as far as car audio innovation goes.
Mm-hmm. And it's a thriving community that is so large and varied and independent that it could almost be considered separate from vehicles.
You know, yes, it could, because there's a lot of places now that do just car audio, and that's that's been around a long, long time. I mean, people were putting in cassette tapes, you know, or 8-track players or, you know, whatever,
yeah.
AM radios into cars, and they were, you know, the car audio place, but not nearly as specialized as they are, you know, now in 2011.
Right. We've got sophisticated, bleeding-edge technology.
Bleeding-ear technology.
Scott Benjamin, ladies and gentlemen. That was nice.
Thank you very much.
So as we need to put this caveat out – as our producer, Casey, will gladly assure you, neither Scott nor myself are audio people.
Correct. We're not experts.
Yeah. We're not experts, so
don't claim to be.
Yeah, we're not going to go into we're not going to go too far into trying to enter the fray about which setup is superior.
No, and direction and you know, competitions and things like that. We're just not going to get into how exactly to build up a vehicle to do this. That's not what we're talking about. What I want to talk about today is I think that, you know, back when I was, you know, kind of in, not really even into car audio, but I'm going to say like high school age, college age.
Sure.
You know, anybody that had a great sound system, they had a subwoofer that was, you know, kind of small, you know, maybe 6-inch subwoofer.
Yeah.
They had, you know, a sound system that cost them probably $1,000, which was a big, big deal at the time.
Yeah.
Maybe a graphic equalizer of some kind. And, you know, now we're talking about computer operated systems with hard drives and, you know, they've got 18-inch subwoofers, and stacks of them.
And stacks of amps.
Stacks of amps included, yeah. I mean, amps were always around, but now we're talking about multiple. And when by multiple, I mean 30, 35 sometimes in some cases. Cars that – and I didn't know this either. Some of these cars, Ben, for show, not drivable.
Which blew me away.
Yeah.
I had no idea.
You can't drive the car. It's strictly an audio machine. It's a stereo on wheels.
So basically what we're doing in this episode is taking some time to talk about how extreme the ultimate sound systems can be. It sounds like we've actually got a little bass bump in the studio.
That's right. I heard something going on there. But yeah, that's the thing is that, you know, this bass sound is what everybody's shooting for now. This is kind of the thing. And this is no secret. You know, when you're in traffic, you'll hear somebody with a car next to you that is so loud that you can feel your car vibrating. That's the effect they want. They want to get that feel from their vehicle, from their sound system, rather. They want to feel the bass in the vehicle. Can you imagine what that feels like inside? That's the first thing. Second thing is, you know, you got to talk about long-term hearing loss.
Sure.
Short-term hearing loss, which, you know, is almost assured. What does it do to the vehicle itself? Because as I was watching some of these videos, I mean, we saw cars that were vibrating themselves apart.
And we saw cars that were waving, not shaking, like rolling. The material of the vehicles appeared to be rolling.
Yeah, it's moving with the base flex, which is the amount of well, I don't know. I guess a simple way to put this would be the amount of air that a bass speaker displaces.
Yeah,
so it's the motion. You know, when you see those great big subwoofers vibrating, you know, pounding up and down with the bass, it's moving air.
And let's keep in mind, air is pretty much a fluid, so it moves like a liquid does.
Mm-hmm. So it's moving through in a waveform, and it's actually moving body panels of the vehicle. It's moving all the seals of the vehicle and the people inside the vehicle with that motion. And I didn't know that this was even happening because I've been in back in the day, I've been in some loud clubs, you know, where you could feel the bass and, you know, you could, or a concert, you know, where you're up front, it's a loud concert and you can feel it, of course, you know, you feel the pressure against your clothes, you feel it on your chest, you feel it in your ears, of course. This goes way beyond that. If you're watching any kind of these YouTube videos that are out there now, you're going to find bass systems that make people jump out of the vehicle because it's so startling when it happens. You're going to find people that, well, their hair flies up and down with the beat. Yeah, exactly. The bass, you know, the air that's moving in and out of the vehicle, it's bringing the person's hair in and out of the vehicle with it.
You're going to see like the video you showed me, Scott, you're going to see phone books ripped apart.
Yeah, that's it. This is
tatters.
And there's one guy in particular that you're going to find a lot of videos from, and his name is Steve Meade.
M-E-A-D-E. Big shout out to you, Steve,
by the way. This is really cool what Steve does. And he doesn't do this professionally, he points out. Steve Meade, again, M-E-A-D-E. If you do a search for him on YouTube, you're going to find a ton of car audio videos that will amaze you if you're not familiar with any of this, because it did me. This is where this really piqued my interest.
Right. Now, these things look almost like science experiments. You'll see these fairly short, to-the-point clips where it's Steve Meade standing, you know, outside of the rear of his vehicle, you know, with the hatchback open, or where he's sitting in the vehicle with another passenger who sometimes can't stay in the car.
Who they call the victim.
Yeah, yeah. And I'll go ahead and warn you guys that, you know, because it is YouTube and because they're using conventional, like normal microphones, will not work to record this level of noise.
No.
So a lot of what you're going to hear doesn't sound the way it will in real life.
No, you know what it sounds like to me? It sounds like wind.
Yeah, it sounds like a jittery mic.
You just hear wind, and that's because of the air that's being pushed in and out of these speakers past the microphone. In the vehicle, supposedly you're able to hear what's going on. You know, you're able to pick it up, you know, at the human threshold, you're able to just hear this bass tone.
Yeah.
Outside the vehicle, you're going to feel it, of course, and it does shake the vehicle. But when they really, I mean, you know, they got it cranked up pretty loud and you can still hear it. But when that bass tone kicks in, that's when you hear it's a rhythmic pulsing that sounds like wind. It's like a rhythmic wind that you hear. It's really weird, and that's just because they can't get it to pick up on the microphone. So, you know, apparently it sounds good in real life, that sound quality. That's a big thing that they shoot for in these car audio systems too, is sound quality. They want to be able to hear what's going on. It's not just loud and distorted, but it's quality sounding music.
Which some of our listeners, you may not believe that people are chasing sound quality, because I'll tell you, living in the States and going in traffic in a city, one of the things that does annoy me is when someone has a very loud or robust speaker system with a subwoofer, but they haven't taken the time or had just the self-respect for their vehicle to get it structurally sound.
Yeah.
You know, there's a world of difference between even if it's music I don't care for, or even if I think it's too loud or something like that, there's a huge world of difference between a properly constructed sound system and one that somebody has just duct taped or put some spit and prayers into their trunk and not close their trunk all the way.
Sure, a couple of wood screws that hold the speakers down in the back deck.
Oh,
and,
my gosh. Yeah,
there's a big, big difference between that and what we're talking about because SPL, which is sound pressure level, and then there's SQ, which is sound quality. And those are two things that you know these builders go for. And there are actually SPL calculators online that you can access and find out, you know, exactly what kind of system you'd be building. And that's one thing that Steve Mead's videos do up front is they point out, you know, all the vehicle stats.
Yes.
What year the vehicle is, who owns it, because he does this on the side. It's not his day job. He does something else. This is just a hobby of his, which
right.
you can't imagine when you look at this stuff. You'd think he's a professional.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's building these in a warehouse somewhere. But he'll mention, you know, how many watts the system has, how many subwoofers it has, and what size.
All
you know,
the components.
We're talking like 8 18-inch subwoofers
right.
in some of these vehicles.
Yeah.
And, you know, some of the vehicles have 30,000 watts of power, 25,000, you know, 30,000, that's not unheard of in his world.
Mm-hmm.
How many alternators the vehicle has, because, 350-amp alternators, one's not going to do it.
Yeah, it's a heck of a pull.
And, you know, he's got like several, he may have like three 350-amp alternators, you know, wired in sequence to make this thing work. So, you know, they show you under the hood, and they'll have, you know, multiple batteries. You know, sometimes they may have 5, 7, 10 batteries to power this thing. And that's another big deal is that they don't want to have voltage drop over this whole thing. So when the car's running and the system's on, they've got voltage meters inside the vehicle that show them how many volts the batteries are carrying and how strong it is because, you know, the less voltage that you have going to the system, the weaker it's going to be.
And we also have to point out that all of Mr. Mead's vehicles, as far as we know, are drivable.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which again, blows my mind. And, you know, any of our listeners who are into extreme sound systems, I would love to hear more about how these vehicles are transported to and from. Do you just tow them the way that you would tow a race car?
I think they go into a trailer because I watched something, Ben, called and would be remiss if we didn't mention this.
What's that?
Decibel drag racing.
Oh, yes, yes.
And,
you told me about this.
It's exactly what it sounds like. Decibel drag racing is, you know, they try to see who can get the highest level of decibels out of their vehicle. There's a, you know, they place a microphone in the vehicle at a certain point and they direct all the sound to that. These cars mostly are not drivable and they just use a single tone. They're meant to play a single tone. And the idea is to get that tone perfect, you know, exactly perfect and exactly positioned right at that microphone. And it's kind of a, just a guessing game really at
okay.
a certain point. But it's a really, really quick, well, they call it the burp is what they call it. It's a test tone that resonates between 30 hertz and 70 hertz. So we're talking about a pretty low bass level here. And, they have, I think they said they've got like 10,000 competitors in 2003, and I don't know if they're still doing this decibel racing or not. I think people are still involved with something like this, but it's really a weird competition. I'll tell you, it's not all that exciting to watch unless you're competing in it, I think. Because they pull the vehicle up to the stand, they put the microphone in place, and then they play this test tone.
Do the burp.
And it's instantly registers, you know, and it may go up just a couple of times because they can't play these for more than just a couple of seconds.
Without the system destroying itself, right?
Yes, because the heat
oh,
that
man.
Something like this generates. They generate something like it can get up to 500 degrees Fahrenheit in a matter of 2 or 3 seconds. So they play this just for maybe a second at a time and then shut it off and then wait and wait and wait for it to cool and then turn it on and turn it off. And they do this a few times until they get this tone to measure whatever the decibel level is, and they go for the highest decibels, of course. And the world record, you want to hear what the world record is?
Yes.
Okay. And there's a little bit of something that goes along with this.
So all right.
The world record right now, according to the you know, my latest notes here, is 181.6 decibels.
Really?
Okay. Now, that's pretty loud.
Yeah.
And to give you an idea of how loud that is.
Oh, do we have a comparison?
I've got a list here, a decibel equivalent table.
Oh, you're the man. Go
and,
for it.
And, oh boy, I tell you, this is something because, now remember that 181.6, okay?
Yeah.
As I go up in these numbers here, and I'm only going to read a few of these. I'm not going to go, you know, number by number, but it has a lot of different things here, you know, like lawnmowers and conversation and dropping a pin and that
just
type
do
of
like
thing.
The greatest hits, weird
okay.
ones.
Okay. Yeah. 60 decibels, normal conversation.
Fair enough.
So we're talking right now 60 decibels.
Okay. We're okay. 60 decibel folks.
Let's see. 116. I'm going to jump all the way up to 116.
All right.
Human body begins to perceive vibration from low frequencies. So you begin to feel the vibrations.
116.
116.
Okay.
128 is the loudest human scream. And you know how loud that can be. I mean, you've been in a room with somebody who has let out a blood-curdling scream before, right? At a Halloween Horror House or House of Horrors, I should say.
Don't take this the wrong way and don't ask me any questions, but yes, several times.
Sorry, man. I still left. I didn't mean that. I meant, like a scary house. Okay, scary house. Okay. So 133 decibels, that's a gunshot, Ben.
Man.
So a gunshot – and you know how loud a gunshot is. A lot of people wear ear protection. Mm-hmm. Gunshots can make you go deaf.
You're required to wear ear protection on ranges, actually.
Correct. Yeah. But 140 decibels, that's the threshold of pain for all frequencies. That's where you begin to feel pain in your ears.
After which you feel physical pain.
Physical pain at 140.
Wow.
Okay.
Okay.
141. So we're only going up one decibel from that point.
Sure.
You begin to feel nauseous after a few minutes from noise.
Man.
It's shaking your body so much that you feel nauseous. You feel sick.
That's crazy talk. Okay.
Okay. 144. Your nose itches because the hairs inside your nose vibrate.
Weird.
145. Your vision blurs because your eyeballs are beginning to vibrate in the sockets.
Okay.
Yeah. I know. You get blurry vision at 144.
You're shaking like a rag doll.
145. Okay. I'll go through these kind of quick because it is a longer list than I thought. But
I'm just hoping it's not like the human body disintegrates at 176.
You know what? We'll get to that.
Okay.
150. Mm-hmm. You get the sensation of being compressed as if you're underwater.
Just from the force of the sound vibrations?
150, you feel like you're underwater. And have you ever put on waders and waded into the water?
Mm-hmm.
You know what a weird feeling that is when they compress around your legs?
Yeah.
That feeling all – or in a wetsuit, you jump into the water. That's what it feels like.
And it's – oh, man, but it's all over your face
too. But that sound, it's every inch of your body.
Wow.
Okay. 152, vibration is painful. So remember we talked about your body starts to vibrate? Now it becomes painful and you feel it in the joints of your body.
It's now your body in addition to your ears.
Exactly. Okay, 153. Your throat is vibrating so hard that it's impossible to swallow.
You can't swallow?
You can't swallow at 153.
Wow.
154, it will break a balloon. Like a child's balloon, if you have a balloon in the room, it will pop the balloon.
As if that kid is not already having a terrible time.
let's see. Oh, here's a good one. 155.
Yeah.
You experience cooling from excited air movement up to 15 degrees Celsius.
Whoa.
I know. It drops the temperature in the area that you're in because it's so cool, because of the movement of the air.
Wow. Okay.
Later, that's counteracted. 163, that's the same as an NHRA top fuel dragster, you know, the 7,000 horsepower dragsters.
Mm-hmm.
That's around 163 decibels, and you know everybody there is wearing ear protection.
Yeah.
And that's just deafening even with that.
Mm-hmm.
163 is also – it's possible to break glass at that level. So, you know, when you hear people – you know, they do a little test where they set up a meter and they have somebody sing and try to break glass.
Oh, yeah, the opera singers
or whatever. It's not going to happen. Yeah. 163 is the glass-breaking level.
Mm-hmm.
Get this. 172, fog is created from the noise.
Weird.
172 decibels, fog is created. It depends on the temperature and the dew point and the humidity in the area that you're in. But can you imagine turning on your sound system in your car and fog appears?
Right. Like that wouldn't work in Death Valley, but it would cause traffic problems here.
Seattle.
Yeah.
Something like that.
That explains it.
It's cool and, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
Okay. 174. This is where it counteracts. Air begins to heat up due to compression. So, you know, in between 155 and 174, it either, cools off and then it heats up again.
So the frictive force
begins
to counteract.
It heats up the air. So it gets hot. Okay. Then we're up to the 181. And, you know, before that even is a pound of TNT at 15 feet. That's 180. And this is 181.6 is the world's loudest car stereo.
So this sounds louder than an explosion.
Than a pound of dynamite at 15 feet.
Louder than a gun.
Mm-hmm.
Loud enough to cause serious physical problems.
Yes. Yes. And that kind of ties in with, you know, the videos that we were watching where we'll tell that.
Yeah.
I'll let you tell that in a second.
Okay. Yeah.
At 190, now we're going past this. Okay.
All right.
At 183, which is not much, you know, higher than the loudest car stereo,
mm-hmm.
on a large scale. So if you had this in a city, total destruction of all structures.
Wow.
I know.
So yeah, it could be a weapon.
Particle velocity of 180 miles per hour is possible at that point.
Man.
So it blow things apart at about 180 miles an hour.
So when we hear these statistics and these numbers, it doesn't seem so unrealistic for a phone book to get ripped apart.
No, it doesn't. No, it doesn't. And I mean, you've got eardrums rupture at 195. You've got, here you go, 202 decibels, death from sound wave.
What a way to go,
death,
man.
Death from sound wave. Yep. Just the shock of the sound wave could kill you. And or not could, would kill you.
Yeah.
If you want to hear about some of these, like I've only got two more really. There's a ton of these. I'm skipping a bunch of these.
Mm-hmm.
286 decibels. That was Mount St. Helens volcanic eruption. That's how powerful that was. 286.
Man.
So that's way up there.
Beyond, yeah.
That's another 100 decibels beyond the car stereo.
So
that we
if you
about.
Were standing there and mm-hmm. somehow didn't die from the eruption,
mm-hmm.
the sound could have killed you.
The sound could have killed you at a certain distance. That's
wow.
right. That's correct. And in 1883, remember Krakatoa?
Mm-hmm.
Am I saying that right?
Krakatoa?
What did I say? It sounds like cockatoo. Like a bird. Okay, so Krakatoa?
Go for it.
Yeah, whatever. How do you think you say it? Anyways, volcanic eruption, 1883.
Yeah.
310 decibels, Ben. That's what they estimate this was because they didn't
Jeez.
Measure it at the time, right? But here's what it did. It cracked foot-thick concrete at 300 miles away, it could create a 3,000-foot tidal wave, and it could be heard 3,100 miles away. The barometers fluctuated wildly at 100 miles away and recorded levels 190 decibels at that distance. It threw rocks to a height of 34 miles. So that's
miles.
34 miles in the air is how high that threw rocks. Now, I know we've gone way off on a tangent here. But
still, that's crazy.
That gives you an idea of the power inside the cars. Now, when we talk about 181,
mm-hmm.
some of those things that we mentioned before that, when you're talking about thresholds of pain and hearing loss
sure.
and the air heating up and creating fog and just some of the dramatic things we talked about.
Loss of vision.
That,
yeah.
Yeah, exactly. You can't swallow.
Yeah.
Those are serious things. I mean, I know why people do it. They do it because they can. It's
sure.
fun.
Yeah.
And it's a challenge to build.
And it's also a very short burst.
Yeah, exactly. The biggest and best and all that, you know, but, the ones that we're talking about, I don't know what the decibel levels are of like Steve Mead's cars,
mm-hmm.
but they're way up there because we saw some shocking videos of what he can do with it. It's almost like tricks, right?
Yes. It's exactly like a trick because I think he knows that as well because these are showcases for the power of these sort of sound systems.
Mm-hmm.
Now, one of the reasons that we're focusing on this guy in this podcast is really because of those videos.
Mm-hmm.
They are worth your time. Can I tell them about one of the coolest ones?
Please do.
Now you showed me this one, Scott. In one of these videos, this guy hops in the driver's seat of his car and he has five empty water bottles,
mm-hmm.
One tucked on each finger of his left hand.
Mm-hmm.
So his hand is by the window. He begins, playing the sound system he has and, you know, he lets it play for a little while without turning the bass to its full capacity.
Mm-hmm.
And then when he turns it up, a very strange thing happens. The bottles float. The sound is powerful enough through a principle called acoustic levitation that they float. Two of them fall out of the field.
Yeah, because he has the window cracked.
He has the window cracked, yeah.
It's like the air vent for the vehicle.
Mm-hmm. And so two of them fall kind of with that vent.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other three are suspended by sound and air alone.
Yeah, they're kind of dancing around
mm-hmm.
in the window.
Yeah.
They're not just hanging there. They're jumping around with the beat of the music.
Yes.
It's really incredible to watch. It's really kind of cool. It's a neat thing to do, and I've seen imitators online, or maybe they were first. I don't know. But
mm-hmm.
It's just this real interesting phenomena that happens that, you know, you're able to do this and right at that particular point, for whatever reason, it's just right there.
Right. It's just almost like an eddy in a fast-moving river or something
where
exactly. the water collects. Now, acoustic levitation is basically the term that it sounds like, and it can take place in normal or reduced gravity, basically anywhere where there's a gas-filled enclosure.
Mm-hmm.
So
and that's what we're talking about with bass flex.
Yes.
We're pushing air in and out with the, it's like a big, like a diaphragm almost.
That's a good comparison.
Push air in and out, or bellows, like bellows in a, an accordion, or, you know, that you would fan a fire with. It's just like that. It's air in, air out, just over and over again with the beat of the music.
So if, one of the examples, we have a great article on acoustic levitation. One of the examples we use in that is the example of the bell. If you, since sound is a vibration and it travels through a gas, a liquid, or a solid object, when you strike a bell, the bell vibrates in the air. And so as one side of the bell moves out, it pushes the air next to it. And it moves that air, increasing the pressure of the in that region. And so this area of higher pressure is a compression. And as that side of the bell moves back in, it pulls the molecules apart and creates a lower pressure region. And we'll call that a rarefication. You've heard the term before, rarefied something or other.
Sure.
Yeah. And so – as the bell keeps ringing and going back and forth, it's repeating this process. So it makes a series of compressions and rarefications. And this, this repetition is called a wavelength of this sound wave. And that's why it looks so cool. That's why those bottles are floating in time to the music, because that's the compression rarefication.
They're riding this wave. They're in the middle of it. They're being pushed back and forth by that, right? They want to be pushed out. They want to be pulled in. They want to be pushed out, pulled in.
Scott, those bottles are better dancers than me, and it kind of bothered me.
You know what? You know what? Some of those videos that, he does, he has you know, like young girls lean in that have long hair.
Oh, yeah,
And the air – and you wouldn't believe how violent this looks. You know, that the hair pulls in and it pushes back out. It's like a strong, strong wind against their hair. Now, maybe – I don't know. One of the more dramatic examples of this – was the phone book.
Oh, gosh.
He has this thing that he does, and you won't see it. You won't believe it until you see it, really.
Yeah, and
you have to look at this.
Yeah, it's not like any sort of sleight of hand.
No. It's really kind of a – well, it's extension of what he has, something that he also calls the CD challenge. I'll tell you about the phone book in a second.
Yeah.
The CD challenge is he has somebody hold – he builds these systems that have a port in the back. It's a square – looks almost like – I don't know, Ben. What would you say? Like you could put like a microwave in it.
Sure, yeah.
It's
about the size of a bread box.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. A shoe box or whatever.
There we go.
Okay, it's a little cubby, really.
Yeah.
And you open up the hatch to the vehicle, you know, the Escalade or whatever it happens to be that, you know, this is in a Tahoe or something. And those vehicles, by the way, SUVs are good for this because they've got so much space.
Yeah.
And
excellent point.
He has all of the air from, you know, these massive banks of subwoofers exiting through this one port at the back of the vehicle. And so there's a lot – it's a very violent, windy area, as you can imagine, in this area from the sound, the SPL. And he takes – you know, you can take a CD and you can hold it in front of this thing. And first of all, good luck holding on to that CD. But if you can – if you're strong enough to hold on to it, it disintegrates in your hand to the point where it'll cut your thumbs and your finger when it falls apart.
Wow.
That's how strong this is. And try to break a CD and figure out how strong that is.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, just bend it in your hand and see how strong it is. So that'll give you an idea of the wind force in this. What does he do with his phone book? This is incredible.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So he takes a phone book and he has the sound system playing. It's active, but he hasn't activated the bass at full blast.
No.
Again, like with the bottles.
Which he does with a wireless keyboard.
By the way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Again, it is cutting edge. Yeah. And you can go on his videos and check out all the stats and the specific configurations and components he's using.
Mm-hmm.
So he takes a phone book and he positions it inside this cubby, and then he has to – I watched this a couple of times. He keeps his hand on it. And at first I didn't figure out why that was, but it's because otherwise it will just fly out.
Yeah, we're talking about a 4-inch thick Yellow Pages phone book.
Right.
It's a big phone book.
Right. The thing you might see wrestlers pretend to rip in half.
You know that old book that's hanging around at your great grandparents' house?
Uh-huh. The what? The
kidding,
yellow
Ben.
One.
I'm kidding, Ben. You know,
do you have a phone book?
Yeah, we get one because everybody in the city gets one.
I feel obligated.
I wouldn't get one if we didn't have to.
Yeah.
Okay.
So he's holding it, and then he turns on the bass, and then immediately, like that, it tears apart.
Like, sure.
Parts of it start tattering
like
up.
Like the first 50 pages just get shredded.
Yes. Yeah. It's an incredibly efficient air shredder.
And he hangs it in there. He keeps it in there. He pulls it out and shows you what's going on. And then he puts it back in and continues to just hit it with bursts of air.
Yeah.
And it just destroys this phone book. It becomes this big ball, really, of, yeah, of shredded shreddings. Paper. And it he shows you the ground. There's a million pieces of paper laying around him. It's really it's like the most powerful leaf blower you've ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it amounts to, you know, blowing out of this hole.
Yeah.
It's really incredible. I mean, the force that these things operate at, I can't imagine what that's got to feel like on your body. Because I know people, you know, some of these videos that he has online, people bail out. Some of them just can't take it.
They jump,
you know, they grab their ears and they wrestle to find the door handle and they're out. They can't believe how he can put up with that kind of the pressure on his body.
I have a hard time believing it. I'm impressed, but I hope he's okay.
Yeah, me too. Honestly, really. Yeah. I mean, it's definitely the point where it would cause long-term problems. And I hope he is taking care of that.
Now let's talk about. You said there are some sponsored teams.
He's just kind of an individual that does this and uses, you know, Rockford Fosgate and, you know, whoever else, you know, it'll be mentioned in the stats in the vehicle, but, you know, there's like Gorilla Audio, which is like, you know, they make a certain type of subwoofer.
Yeah.
There's Crutchfield, Alpine, Bose, Kenwood, Pioneer. A lot of, you know, these big name companies put a lot of money into these show vehicles because it's, you know, a sponsorship opportunity for them. They get their name out there in front of people at these events where they measure decibel levels or they just have, you know, wild custom cars. I'm sure everybody can picture the type of competition I'm talking about. You know, you pull a vehicle up to the stand, you crank up the you know, the sound as loud as you can, you hit the bass, and then everybody applauds and says that's the best one, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds a very square way to put that whole thing. But, you know, everybody can probably get an idea of what we're talking about here.
Sure.
These competitions are a good way for manufacturers to get their name out there in front of a large group of people and say, yeah, we won that competition in Miami or LA or wherever it happens to be. And, you know, they may spend a lot of money on sponsorships like this because some of this equipment, quite frankly, it burns up. Just a matter of seconds, it ignites. It literally burns up. And I would think they lose a lot of equipment that way.
I would think I think it's very common.
Mm-hmm.
And also, when we're saying this, I know it's fun. I'm laughing because of your description of that and how you said it sounded square. But I don't think it does. I think a lot of people would be surprised by, how prevalent this sort of pursuit is. And there is a huge appeal in sound systems. Now, I can't really speak to the appeal of sound systems across the world in cars, but we do know that in the United States and very much so in the South, very robust car systems are somewhere between competition and a status symbol, you know, and
yeah, they're a big deal.
Mm-hmm, they're a big deal. Now, I am perhaps a bit foolish, Scott, but I had always assumed that it was more or less the same across the United States.
Mm.
Now,
okay.
Now you've traveled Indiana and Michigan. Have you also seen extreme sound systems in that area?
You know, I have, but it's far more sparse. Just not nearly as common as it is down here.
Mm.
And I know that some of the extreme, like Miami, you're going to find a lot more of this than you'll even find here in Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
And I would guess in LA, I've traveled to LA, but I didn't really pay much attention at the time when I was there.
Yeah.
But I would guess that it's bigger out there as well. I don't know. Atlanta is still pretty big for aftermarket car audio and systems like this, you know, the extreme systems that we're talking about. It's definitely, like you said, a status symbol. I think a lot of people, you know, will have a $10,000 car with a $15,000 audio system installed.
Ooh, you know, or, tell the truth.
You know,
it's
or,
true.
You know, it's true. And,
yeah.
And you know, a lot of people point out that, you know, that's in these competitions, a lot of them don't really care how the car looks. It's how it sounds. That's the point is that, you know, that it doesn't matter because, you know, I'm going to turn this thing on. It's going to shake the driver's side mirror off anyways.
Yeah.
I don't care what it's like. You know, these things will break windows if you don't have it vented correctly.
Absolutely.
There are videos online of people turning on, you know, the subwoofers, the bass, and there's so much vibration, so much movement that it'll it'll shatter windows inside the vehicle, just blow them right out. Even in competition vans, they forget to vent them the correct way or whatever, and they'll shatter the front windshield in the car. It happens.
Now, and this is where we need to enter into something that I find fascinating, and it's that there have been moves to legislate against types of sound systems or to set thresholds. Now, for people who are aficionados and enthusiasts of extreme sound systems, this is seen as, you know, why are you picking on me? Right? Especially if, let's say you're on your own property and the noise you're making is not injurious or it's not at a time, like a lot of cities have an ordinance after which no loud noises can occur. So I would have to ask you just your total opinion, total speculation. And I know I'm kind of blindsiding you here, Scott, but, what do you think? Do you think that there should be any sort of legislation against this stuff?
No, I don't think legislation against it. I think it's more of a common sense thing. If you've got your stereo turned up so loud that your neighbor's windows are shaking, or if you're sharing a common wall with somebody in an apartment or a condo, or if you have subwoofers that are on the ground and you can feel that in the next apartment or next unit or whatever it is next to you, it's, you know, really just common courtesy.
Yeah.
If you can't, just be courteous about it. If you're going to do that in your car, I mean, you got to put up with it while you're at the red light, you know, while somebody's next to you doing that. That's fine. But, I wouldn't want to be in a position where I couldn't get away from that if I wanted to.
Sure.
So like if somebody's in their car and they're driving, I'd let them do whatever they want to do. But if it's at a house or if it's at a, like I said, an apartment or condo or something where you have to be next door or you have to be, you know, you're trying to enjoy your backyard.
Sure.
And it's so loud, it's painful.
Right. You can't hear whomever you're
exactly.
talking to.
Exactly. I'm not just talking about something that you find distasteful. Like let's say they're playing country music and you don't like country music or they're playing rap music and you don't like rap music.
Yeah.
I'm not talking about that. I mean if it's disruptive.
It's like 118 decibels.
Exactly. Yeah. If it's that high, then yeah, I think that something has to be done. But legislation, that's real tricky because, you know, where do you set that threshold?
Right. That's my problem with the idea of the legislation. Like I can understand I'm sort of in the camp of the if it's too loud, you're too old kind of mentality.
Yeah.
I do understand, you know, health concerns. I do understand safety concerns, for instance, if you're driving. Some drivers are, let's say, easily distracted, you know.
Or oblivious to sirens and you know, medical emergency vehicles, things like
sure.
that. You know, they're unable to hear them approach.
On the other hand, most of the sound systems – that you hear, most of the loud ones, are not near this level of noise.
No, this is pretty extreme.
Yeah, this is very extreme. These, you're probably not going to be driving down the street and hear one of these. If you do, you'll probably just feel it as much as you hear it.
Yeah, exactly, because you won't be able to pick up – you'll be able to hear – or you'll actually be able to feel it or it'll register on your vehicle. You'll be able to feel your car shaking. I felt that in the past. You know, like my rearview mirror begins to vibrate a little
bit.
You know, like what is that? And which car? You can't even really tell where it's coming from, which vehicle.
Sure.
So yeah, that type of thing that kind of bugs me a little bit. But I mean, like I said, you know, after that light turns green, you're off on your own direction.
Well, here's my thing. Here's my take. I don't think legislation is really appropriate because where can you find the cutoff? How can you do it fairly? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And there is some legislation already. You know, there are noise ordinances.
Just disturbing the peace type things that
right.
happen. You know, there's
right.
Ordinances, city ordinances that are against this, and sure. I mean, if they're already in place, what are you going to do? They're already there.
But Scott, on the other hand, these things are so cool, and you know, I love seeing somebody get fixated on doing something to the utmost degree.
Sure, yeah, and that's what Steve does. He takes it right to the very top. I'm going to say like the ridiculous top end. You know, he takes it to the absurd ending.
We're going to get
it's actually painful.
Yeah, we're going to get some listener mail about this one, I know, and we're going to get it in two camps. We're going to get people who hate very loud sound systems, and we're going to get people who are very proud of the sound system that they have built.
Sure, and I fully expect both of these because I don't know, I'm somewhere in the middle. I don't know. It's not that I hate them, but I'd be kind of upset if I couldn't get away from that and I had to hear it all the time.
Sure. which is why it's in a car.
but it is pretty cool.
Yeah, so we want to hear from both sides of the fence on this, because we'd be very interested to see your take on it. You can find us on Facebook. You can find us on Twitter. You can always drop us a line or give us a suggestion for an upcoming episode at
carstuff@howstuffworks.com.
Be sure to check out our new video podcast, Stuff from the Future. Join HowStuffWorks staff as we explore the most promising and perplexing possibilities of tomorrow. The HowStuffWorks iPhone app has arrived. Download it today on iTunes.